very happy to see many of you back in church that have been self-quarantined, dodging the bullets. And I'm happy that most of you, well, I think probably all of you were able to avoid that, even though you had direct exposure. God helps. Amen. He's greater than vaccination. Amen. Vaccination is good, but it's, you know, it's not 100% effective. But I tell you what God does, he doeth it well. Amen. So we greet you, greet all of our guests that are here today, first-time guests, and those who have been here several times. Amen. We're starting to, we're going to write your name down, and if you're not here, we're going to call you and ask you why you skipped church. Amen. All right, everybody say praise the Lord. Let's turn to the book of Matthew chapter 26 and beginning in verse number 36. We'll take our text today. Praise the name of the Lord. Matthew 26, 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry you here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Notice here in this last verse, last statement. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. My subject is going to be not as I will. Not as I will. Let's have prayer together. Lord, thank you for your presence that's visited us in this service today. God, we know that you have yet to complete the work that you desire to do in our midst today. Prepare hearts, speak words of comfort and strength, encouragement. Words, oh God, that will give hope to people that are living in despair. We thank you, God, for what you're going to do. And I bless your wonderful name. Lift your hands and let's praise the Lord together. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name. Amen. You can be seated. I know I make reference quite often to the first man that was created, Adam. And there's a reason for that. He is one of the most significant people in the Bible. I would say probably next to Jesus Christ, he would be number two. Because he is the one that's the father of us all. Amen. You go back far enough and you got a little bit of his DNA in you. And some of you got a whole lot of it. Amen. But anyway, when God formed Adam, the first Adam, from the dust of the earth, the Bible says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul. A living soul. We read in 1 Corinthians 15 and 45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, which would be Jesus Christ, was made a quickening spirit. We have a comparison made here, and what it shows us is that Adam was a living soul, a living person that God created. However, Jesus Christ was a quickening spirit. He was more than just living, amen, but he was a giver of life, a giver of life. And so, you know, living means to breathe. It means to be among the living. You're not lifeless. You're not dead. Amen. You're able to get up. You're able to do some things. You're able to move around. And then when it speaks about the soul is something that's a very interesting subject. I've studied it for many, many years, and there's still things about it that I don't yet understand. There's so much connected and involved in it. But I know the soul is where the seat of our feelings and our desires and our emotions and our affections and so forth. That's who we are. the invisible part of us that nobody sees, but they definitely see and hear the effects of it. And so, this second Adam was made, he was made, my goodness, as a quickening spirit, which means he gives life to those that he comes in contact with. And so we see that Adam was given the power to choose whether he would obey the commandments of God or if he would give in to his fleshly, earthly, carnal desires. And so it would be up to him to obey to be saved or to disobey and be eternally lost. And so the Bible describes him in 1 Corinthians 15:47, the first man is of the earth. He's earthy, is what it says in Scripture. And the second man is the Lord from heaven. So what a contrast. Do we want to follow after the fleshly side of who we are, or do we want to follow after the spiritual side, which comes to us through Jesus Christ, who gives us power, amen, to live above sin? Now, this first man that God created, this things of the earth, because he was brought from the earth, he was made from earth, he was made from soil, and even the word even has this meaning of dusty or dirty. And so there's a side of all of us that is attracted to the things of the world. Are you listening to me? Amen. Things that just draws on us, that pulls on us, things that are not godly, things that are not holy, righteous, things that we ought not to be attracted to. But there is that flesh that we dwell in that's not created in righteousness, because we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And so when God created them, Adam and then later his wife Eve, he did some really wonderful things. He planted a special garden, and it had every herb and tree that bore fruit and was good for food. And this was just especially made for Adam and Eve. And the Bible says, out of the ground the Lord made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And then he adds in there the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Okay, every kind of tree that grew and produced fruit that was good to eat and was nice to look upon. It was pleasant to look upon. God gave it to them for food. Also, he says the tree of life. What's the tree of life mean? You eat of the fruit of the tree of life and you live forever. Okay? And then we have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Furthermore, the Lord God took Adam, put him in the garden, and he told him, I want you to dress it and keep it, which means to till the soil. It means to guard, amen, from intruders, outsiders, amen, to protect what God had given unto them. And the Bible says Adam, he could eat anything he wanted that God had planted, except one thing. Now, I wonder how many different species of fruit-bearing trees and nut-bearing trees and herbs that were growing, vegetables and other things that are delicious and good for a person to put into their body. I wonder how many thousands of species there had to have been of plants. Everything that grew, that grows in the earth today, that was good for food, was in that garden. And there was only one tree that God said, don't eat of it. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Why was it that Adam and Eve couldn't keep their eyes off the forbidden fruit? Even though they had never sinned, just because of the weakness of the flesh, because we're made from the soil, we're dependent upon things the soil produces. Amen. We angelic beings do not have to eat. They don't have to sleep. They don't have to have things to keep them warm when it's cool and cool when it's hot. Amen. Because they are spirit beings. But we have to have all of these things and more. And because of that, we have not only attraction, but we have a need to be connected to a lot of the things of the world, because that's how we survive. But you see, it's through that area right there that the devil has access to our minds, to our spirit, and an opportunity to try to trip us up and deceive us and cause us to be destroyed. And so, as you continue, in the 16th verse of Genesis chapter 2, I'd never noticed this before. I was preparing this message. And God, the Lord God, commanded the man, saying, everybody say commanded. Commanded. Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Now, what does that mean to you when he said he commanded him to? That means that all the good trees, God said, you try every one of them. Yes, right. Amen. You eat everything that I have provided that's good for food. I want you to experience that. Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. By the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. How many believe that God meant what he said? And so God put them in the garden. It's a wonderful story. They enjoyed life together. They had fellowship with God. He would come and visit with them. And as long as they submitted to his will, everything was wonderful. It could have still been that today. I don't know whether you and I would be alive. Probably if everybody that's lived on the earth since this time was to be on the earth together, you wouldn't find a place to stand. The earth would be covered. But nonetheless, I'm sure God had other things he could have and would have done. But they were not restrained from eating the fruit of the tree of life. They never ate it. They never touched it. They never tried it. They were not curious about this. They were curious about that which appealed to the flesh. Amen. Why do I need to eat this? I'm living forever anyway. Not necessarily. Amen. It's difficult for me to understand that. I don't know about you, but why? I'm telling you what, it seems to me like they would have eaten it three times a day. Have a little bit for breakfast, a little bit with your lunch, a little bit for your dinner. Amen. Let's stay healthy. Let's stay well. Let's live forever. Amen. But that's not the way they thought. And so, they partook of it. And sin entered into the world. They were driven from the garden. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I don't know where it is, unless it's the internet. The tree of life, I know where it is. It's in heaven. The Bible talks about it being in heaven. Amen. We're going to eat. There's healing in the leaves off of that tree. Everything about it is health giving. Amen. And so, then it talks about the last Adam. The first Adam and the last Adam. Now, I know there's a lot of people named Adam, and that's not what it's talking about, but it's talking about these two people that are so important to humanity. If it wasn't for the first Adam, we wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for the second Adam, we wouldn't be here. Amen. The first Adam brought natural life to us. The second Adam gave us eternal life. Amen. That's how come we have hope today. So they had this fellowship with the Lord as long as they walked in his precepts. The second man is called the Lord from heaven. And then it goes on to mention that in 1 Corinthians 15:46, howbeit that was not the first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. I see this all through the Bible. Let me slow down just for a moment here and help you understand here before we try to go a little bit further. What it's saying is this first man, Adam, he was not a spiritual man that brought spiritual life to us, but he was a natural man, and it came first. The natural came first, and then afterward, that which is spiritual. This came on down through humanity. First baby born on the earth was named Cain. And when his mother gave birth to him, she said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And then she had another child, and his name was Abel. And Cain should have been the firstborn. He should have been the one that was in the lineage of all down through the ages until the time of Jesus Christ. He should have been one of the ancestors, one of the first ancestors of Jesus Christ. But because of his disobedience and his sin, amen, he was rejected of God, and his brother Abel offered a sacrifice to please the Lord, and the Lord accepted him. Then Cain murdered the one that was supposed to be a part of this lineage from Adam all the way down to Jesus Christ. Whenever that was going to be, they didn't know the things about it that we know today, because we can read about the fulfillment of these prophetic words and prophetic statements that were made. But the thing that was different about Jesus Christ with Adam, it started out with the body, pottery, clay, forming this shape of a man, working on it. Amen. God laid his word down. He said, I'm going to create this with my own hands. And so God formed man from the dust of the earth. He started first with the earth, with not a corpse because it never lived, but with a form, a non-living form of a man. And then he breathed into his breath, or into his nostrils, the breath of life. And he became a living soul. A living soul. Man, that must have been wonderful. I can't ever go by this without thinking about when Adam opened his eyes, who did he see? Amen. He was looking at the God that had made him in his likeness and image. Amen. But the spiritual part came later. Howbeit with Jesus Christ. Let's go to John chapter 1, verse number 1. And we read, in the beginning. When is the beginning? That's before anything else takes place. That's what's first in order here. When you're speaking about time. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And I know you've heard it, but I'm going to tell you again. The word translated here is logos, which refers to what God planned to do here in the world, his blueprint and his intentions and all the different things that God was going to do to have what he desired to have in mankind. And so before anything was created, God knew what he was going to do. Some people think, you know, that God has to react to this and put this fire out, put that one out, and nervous and what's going on and what's next. No, that's not the way it works. Amen. He knows the end from the beginning. Amen. And so the Bible says in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was what? With God. With God. He carried it right here. And the Word was God. You can't separate a man from his Word. He's worth no more than what his word is worth. If he'll lie to you, he's worthless. Amen. And so the very persona of God was manifested in the plans that God had for humanity. You and I were included in the word that was made flesh. Amen. When it was time for Jesus Christ, the second Adam, to come, he didn't form a body. No, Spirit of God moved over a little virgin girl, and she conceived, and she bare a son, and she called his name Jesus, which means Jehovah Savior. Also is called Emmanuel, which means the Lord is with us. Amen. So the second Adam was Jesus Christ, who was both God and man. Amen. He got part of his genetics and his DNA from his mother, and he got part of him from his father, who is an invisible spirit, the spiritual side. So Jesus was more than a man. He was the God man. He was 100% man, and he was 100% God. Amen. Because the flesh was humanity, and the spirit that indwelt him without measure was no more than God, the creator of all things. So the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Everybody says, praise the Lord. Amen. Aren't you glad? Amen. That Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. And aren't you glad that God manifested himself in the flesh so he could know, even though he knew, but so he could experience for himself what we go through. Amen. You see, because of the humanity, he could be tempted to sin just like you and I. And I know across the country, there's different ones come up with these crazy ideas, and Jesus could not have committed sin. How can you be tempted if you can't sin? You understand what I'm saying? If it's impossible to sin, how can you be tempted to sin? So, you know, if I could, I would be tempted to do that. I don't think so. Let's just take it the way it's written. It's very simple. Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. So as a man, Jesus was tempted as you and I are tempted. It was just as real to him as it is to us. He was tempted in every area that a person could be tempted in. And there's no way that you and I can live long enough to be tempted in every way a person could be tempted. They're just, it's kind of like those herbs and those trees. There's just too many of them to get to at one time. Amen. There's so many things out there that appeals to the flesh. So many sins, so many opportunities, amen, to follow and go down the wrong pathway. And so, Jesus, when he came to earth, when he was here on the earth, he knew who he was, and he knew that he faced a lot of temptation. And so, here was the deal. He had to be perfect and not ever give in to sin so that he could be worthy to be the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. All of salvation hinged on Jesus Christ. If he made one little slip, we wouldn't be having this service today. Amen. I don't know what else might have happened in instead. I don't even want to go there. It'd just be pure imagination and probably wouldn't mean anything anyway. But what I'm trying to help us understand that Jesus came to earth as a man and the devil was allowed to tempt him. Somebody said, well, he was God. The devil didn't have access to him. He did through his humanity, his flesh, just like he does to you and I. And then one of the first things when Jesus came to a certain age, it was time for his ministry to launch. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The Spirit of God said, come over here. I'm going to put you in the wilderness where there's nobody else around to help you. And I'm going to turn the devil loose on you. And see what happens. How could that be? Because you see, he had to pass the test. Has the devil ever had you off to yourself where there was nobody to help you? And he dropped the hammer on you? He tried everything he knew to try to bring you under condemnation? Amen. To bring you under bondage? To steal from you what God had given unto you? Amen. So you see, there's a similarity in the temptation of Adam and Eve and the temptation that Jesus Christ went through. First of all, the first thing involved was food. Amen. After Jesus had fasted 40 days, the Bible says afterwards he was hungered, or he was very hungry. Very hungry. How many of you have fasted 40 days? You know what it's like, don't you? 40 days. Now, I haven't gone quite that long. Maybe a little over half of that, but that's about as far as I've ever made it. But I'm going to tell you something. He fasted 40 days, and it's humanly possible to do it. If you're in decent health, you could do that if you prepared and went about it in a proper way. But don't you try it without talking to me first. You need somebody to pray for you, somebody there in case you get in trouble and you need a little helping hand. Amen. So in the garden, the serpent went and you might say promoted this fruit from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. He just knew how to present it in such a manner. When Eve saw it, she said, it's good for food and it's pleasant to the eyes and to be desired to make one wise. That's what Eve said. What is she saying? Oh, it's beautiful. Oh, it looks wonderful. It's so pleasant. It's so beautiful to look upon. And it looks so luscious. I want to hold it. I want to feel of it. I want to look at it. I want to eat it. And I want to be wise. I guess the devil told her, if you'll eat of this, you're going to be wise. You know, it's a tree of what? Knowledge of good and evil. But there's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. You can have a lot of knowledge and you can be stupid with it. And if you don't know anybody like that, then maybe you're the one I'm talking about. But how many of you know that to be true? Absolutely, it's that way. And so Eve, she partook of that. And Adam was there with her. He didn't come up later, as most people think. Just read it. And Adam, who was with her, she gave it to him. He ate also. And sure enough, their eyes were open. But it wasn't what they expected. It wasn't beautiful. It wasn't pleasant. It brought pain. It brought sorrow. It brought regret. It revealed things to them that they didn't have to know if they would have just obeyed. They looked and said, "We're naked." Do you know what that naked feeling was from? It's because they were not covered with holiness. They were not covered with the righteousness of the saints. Amen. And so they saw each other without the cover of redemption, without the covering of holiness that only God can give to us. Amen. And so they begin to try to fashion something that they could cover that up with. And I'm going to tell you, most of religion is nothing but a Band-Aid. It's just something man has conceived, and it's like Adam and Eve trying to wear a little apron and feel like they're covered up, and their nakedness is not showing. That they feel like, you know, well, I go to church, you know. Really, what church? Well, there's a couple places I go from time to time, here and there, and all of that. And you can just tell very quickly that they don't really have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So these three areas that Eve was tempted in, and also Adam, was identified in the book of 1 John by Apostle John. And in this, in his 1 John 2 and verse 16, said, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh." Everybody say, "The lust of the flesh." The lust of the eyes. Repeat that, please. The lust of the eyes. And the pride of life. The pride of life. The lust of the eyes. The lust of the flesh. The pride of life. The lust of the flesh. We just have... I don't even try to say it in a nice way, but we just got some things we need to work on. Amen. The nature of fallen man. We didn't go out there and do something to get this. We were born with it. It's our uncontrolled flesh. It's the desires of the flesh to take something beautiful and make something bad out of it. There's nothing wrong with drinking apple juice. But man sought out many inventions and made rum out of it. And made other things that will cause you to get drunk. And somebody said, "Well, that's all right for us to drink that because, you know, God's the one that created the apple. He's also the one that created the idiots." They come from somewhere. Just because you can do something doesn't mean it's a godly thing. I'm going to tell you what, I'm sick of marijuana. I'm sick of hearing about it. I'm sick of seeing the signs. I'm sick of seeing the little stores everywhere you go. I've seen them almost next to each other. One of them could see, and I'm not kidding, there's several places in town where you can stand at one and look up. And from where you're standing, you can see another one. And every one of them seems to be busy. Is this world getting better? This is the last day. Sin is abounding. Amen. Well, you don't need that stuff. I'm tired of it. But it's part of the plants that God created. Somebody said, "So that God created, then what's wrong with us having it?" Well, he's the same one that created wood. I guess that means if you want to take a stick of it and hit somebody in the head with it, that would be just fine because God created it. We might as well whack somebody's head off. I said, "Brother Howard, you're being absurd." Because the world is absurd. They have faulty thinking. God didn't sanitize size the earth, where you'd have to go looking hard for something evil to do. But the devil brings it to your front door. He'll bring it into your home. He'll bring it through your devices. He'll bring it to you any way that he can. Amen. Because he has one thing in mind, and that's to see you destroyed and burning with him in hell when he's there in eternity. So Jesus fasted 40 days, and afterward he was very hungry. The devil showed up. Can you imagine that? You'd think after fasting 40 days, the devil would be on the other side of the world. But he was right there with him. He said, hey, you sure look hungry. He said, you know, there's no grocery stores around here. They don't even have a Quick Trip around here. You might find a 7-Eleven, but there's no Quick Trips around here. Hey, don't be offended, anybody here. Amen. But he said, I'll tell you what you do. If you're really God, why don't you just turn those stones into bread and eat? Yeah. But do you know what he would have done? If he had done that, you know what it would have amounted to? He was using his creative power to have something that you and I could not do. We couldn't do that. I can't turn stones into bread. And you can't either. I had a woman one time who was going to make us some really good biscuits. And when she got through with them, they were stone biscuits. And a big old scorpion come up about that time, and I threw it. Pooh, I hit that scorpion, and I killed him with that. With that very hard biscuit. And she got her feelings hurt. I just thought I might as well use it for something. Get some kind of usage out of it. But he looked at that. He said, nope. He said, it's written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I'm on a spiritual quest. And it's more important to me than what you're offering me on the natural side. We need from time to time to get ourselves in a spiritual quest where the things of the world, we put them aside. I'm not talking about sin here. I'm just talking about the things that takes up our time, things we do for amusement and enjoyment. Nothing wrong with it if it's done, you know, within certain bounds time, not spending too much time and giving to God the time that he deserves, and then a little bit extra if you really love him. Amen. And so the devil said, well, I'll tell you what you do. He said, come with me. Took him up this temple, high pinnacle, way up there, tire, way, 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 way up there. And he said, why don't you just jump off of here? He said, it's not going to hurt you, because it's written the angels are going to bear thee up unless you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus rebuked him again and came back at him. And then the last thing that he come at him with is, he said, look, he took him and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Don't let this confuse you and mess you up. But he said, all of these kingdoms that you see, all the power, all the wealth, everything that's involved in this, if you will fall down and worship me, I'll give it to you. Now, Jesus didn't get in an argument with him and say, you don't own that. You're not God. You me, 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 me. You know what? He did own it. And guess who gave it to him? The first Adam. That was of the earth, earthy, carnal. Had different kinds of desires and urges and feelings that drew him after the things of the flesh rather than the things of the spirit. And then he told him, he said, get behind me, Satan, for it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So the Bible says when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Now the public ministry of Jesus Christ began. It spanned not 33 years, which was his age when he died, but 3.5 years it spanned. And a lot of things happened in just 3.5 years. But I'm going to tell you this, Jesus Christ had conquered his flesh and had power over Satan. And he returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And the Bible says there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. He taught in the synagogues, being glorified of all. So what was a strong characterization of Jesus's preaching and teaching and ministry style? Here's what he was known for: anointed teaching and a demonstration of power. You know, if you went where Jesus was, most likely you're going to hear him expounding the word of God, teaching the things concerning the kingdom of God that he came to establish here on the earth. Amen. Calling people to repentance, rebuking the proud and those that refused to repent, and offering hope and help to those that were bound, those that were that needed healing, deliverance, or whatever it might be. And you're going to see a demonstration of the power of God. So what's wrong with a lot of our churches today? They have all kinds of beautiful things and things going on, and a lot of it's nice and on and on and on. But it's void of a real move of the Holy Ghost. They don't enjoy worship services like we just had today, because they don't even have that kind of a relationship with God. So everywhere he went, he confronted and dealt with all kinds of diseases. Demon possession, blind receive their sight, deaf were able to hear, the lame walked, and it went on and on and on. And so many times they would stop him and say, "Sir, where did you get this?" Some were curious and were honest hearted, and they said, "Where did you get this power? Where did you get such anointing, authority as you have whenever you teach the word of God?" And Jesus would tell them, "He that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone." And he said, I do always those things that please him. Oh my. I covet that kind of testimony. I haven't got there yet. There's times that I know God was not pleased with me because I'm not even pleased with myself. Amen. But Jesus said, "Here's one thing I do." Amen. The Father that's living on the inside, everything I do, I try my best. I do always those things that please him. You know what? How much power you have with God? You know what it's dependent on? It's dependent upon how submitted you are to the will of God and doing those things that please him. Too many are self-centered. Amen. They're trying to please themselves. They even look for ways. I wonder if this is not sin. I mean, I can control this. I can handle this. You know what you're doing? You're playing with fire, and you're setting yourself up for a lot of problems. Amen. Why aren't you saying, "I wonder what I could do to please the Lord today"? Now, what can I get by with to please my flesh? So I want to go to our text. And this is, I knew my intro was going to be very, very long. It's longer by far than my message. I probably only need about 5 to 10 minutes to finish up here. But the greatest temptation Jesus faced, remember the Bible said Satan left for a season. That's after the 40 days temptation. But you know what? He was planning on coming back. And do you know when he got his opportunity to tempt Jesus Christ way more severely than he did when he was hungry after fasting? And that is when it came time for him to die. Because he knew, the God part of him knew exactly what was going to take place. He said, "One of you is going to betray me. And the rest of you are going to flee from me and forsake me." And he went on telling what was going to happen. And so it drew near. And Jesus warned his disciples, "It's just about time." And I won't go into all the details here. I'll just skip over a lot of this. But Jesus he's the one that asked for and planned the last supper, the last meal together. And his disciples were too carnal to recognize the importance of what was going on here. When they got together, Jesus said, "With great desire have I desired to eat this with you." I want to spend this time of fellowship with you. I wonder how many times in our carnality that God had a special visitation for us individually or as a church. And because of our lack of spirituality, we missed out on something wonderful that God wanted to do for us. Something to think about. Amen. But they got it together. And he spent his last evening eating with his disciples. Some of the things he did, he girded himself as he took off his robe and put this apron around himself and girded himself, and he washed his disciples' feet. Do you know whose job that was? It was the least servant in a household. Most of them had servants, slaves, whatever you want to call them. And it's not a good thing, but anyway, most of them did. And they were the least one in the household when a guest would come. He's the one, or she was the one, that had to go and wash that guest's feet. Now, when my feet get dirty, I don't even like to wash them, much less have to wash somebody else's feet. You understand what I'm saying? But Jesus was, what an example. Where's the pride? Show me anywhere in the Bible, in the New Testament, where Jesus showed any type of pride. You won't find it. He was humble. He loved humanity. He didn't just tell to prefer others before yourself, but that's the life he lived. Amen. He put others before himself. He never turned anybody down when they sent for him to come and to pray for their sick or somebody that was even dead. Amen. And then he also instituted what we refer to as communion. And then he announced to them that one of you is going to betray me. The disciples were filled with disbelief. And you wouldn't do that, would you? Who do you think is going to do it? I don't think he would do that. Who do you think? I know I'm not going to do it. And back and forth, they were all questioning, wondering who's he talking about? And of course, it was Judas. And Jesus gave him the sop. And the way he did it, so discreetly. See, he wasn't trying to isolate him and put him up for ridicule. Amen. He was trying his best to reach out and save him. Judas, you don't have to do this. Even when a little later that evening, they showed up at the garden and Judas came and kissed him. Do you know what Jesus called him? He said, friend, friend. My. All this was going on. But I got just a little bit ahead of myself when I talked about Judas coming up. I'm just letting you know this is how Jesus operated. And so they were filled with disbelief. Who in the world would do this? Then Jesus said, come and go with me to the garden in Gethsemane. And he went there and he said, sit here while I go a little further. Then with him he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John. Peter, James, and John. The big three that he counted on so much during his ministry. And he took them a little bit further with him. And he said, would you all sit here and would you pray with me? Would you keep watch? Would you help me? I need help. I'm so heavy. And it says he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Why not? Because his humanity, the Jesus that we can identify, amen, was resisting death just like you would. And Jesus said to his, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. My. Please stay here and watch with me. Tarry ye here with me and watch with me. And then the battle began. And these disciples went to sleep because of their weariness. And he began to cry out. But think about all the things that he was dealing with. He knew that Judas was going to betray him. He knew that all the disciples were going to flee when he got arrested. He knew that he was going to have to stand before those that would be judging him, the high priest and others. And nobody would be standing there to witness for him. All of that was going on. But he also knew that within 24 hours or less that he was going to be crucified. And there is where he would give up his life's blood. And so there was this struggle. It's flesh against spirit. It's flesh against spirit. Spirit against flesh. It's back and it's forth. It's the flesh saying, you don't want to die, you don't want to die. And the spirit said, oh, it's going to be so much better when it's over with. You're going to be the savior of the world. There's going to be opportunity for every person that ever lives to be saved and to not have to be condemned and go to hell. And it's back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth. And I'm telling you, I'm preaching, I'm wrapping it up here in the next few minutes, but I know where God wanted me to go today, and I'm there right now. There's some of you that's been wrestling with your flesh for years. And the spirit and the flesh is warring. And you wonder why you're not happy. And you wonder why you don't feel the joy of the Lord. And you wonder so many things. It's because you can't make up your mind to turn loose of your will and embrace the will of God. Spirit was willing. And it prevailed as finally the flesh surrendered. And Jesus said, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. What was in the cup? The thing that was in the cup was the sins of the world. It was a bitter cup. I want you to drink it. I want you to identify with the sins of everybody that's ever lived on the earth and everybody that'll ever live on the earth. Amen. I want you to drink it. All the way down, all of it. Amen. So that your blood can atone for the sins of every individual that's ever lived on the earth and every individual that ever lived on the earth. That's how powerful that pure, clean sacrifice was. And he said, please, Father, if it be possible, would you let just this cup pass from me? I don't want to drink this cup. But then the Spirit rose and said, not as I will, but as thou wilt. I would to God somebody could break through to that place right now. Amen. I wish, amen, that somebody could say, you know what? I'm tired of wrestling back and forth. I'm tired of getting to a certain point with God and then backing off and saying, no, I can't do that. Amen. I'm ready. I'm ready for God to have his will in my life. And you know what happened when he said that? God dispatched an angel from heaven to strengthen him. You can read it in Luke 22:43. And I'm going to tell you, when you push as far as you can push, amen, there'll be an angel there to minister to you. God's not going to let you down. God's not going to let you be destroyed. And this strength that the angel brought to him, amen, give him the ability and the strength to pray with much more earnestness. It's so much that his sweat was as great drops of blood falling to the ground. Don't know if it was blood. I've heard it argued both ways, but I'm going to tell you what. Whatever it was notable enough for God to include it in the written word. Amen. Oh, my Father, somebody please come help me. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. I just wonder how many here today are unwilling to drink your bitter cup. I just don't want to quit eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't you know if you quit doing that and eat from the tree of life, everything's going to work out. Everything's going to be according to the perfect will of God. Please stand. I'm not talking about everybody being called to preach, people. How about soul winners? How about people that teach teach the little children, Sunday school teachers? What about those that assist and help? Men such as Brother Butler, that has been driving our vans and buses and what have you for years. And he's as faithful as he can be. He didn't even know that. But I'm sure he's got people he has to take home when service ends today. Oftentimes make deliveries in between Sunday school and worship service. I just wonder if there's things God has dealt with you about. And you've thought about it. I'm going to go so far as to say things like singing in the choir. If you meet the qualifications for membership in this congregation, which I'm not going to go into right now, mainly just has to do with being faithful and doing what's right, then you can sing in the choir. We've got some great singers and musicians. A woman that my wife and I visited with on Friday. She's been here a couple times for events that we've had. And her husband very heavily involved in church they attend. But she couldn't help herself. She said, I'm telling you, y'all have the most awesome music there. There's things you all do with music that I've never seen or heard. It's just incredible. You don't have to play like that. You don't have to be able to be the songbird. But if you can just pray and learn the song and sing it with a burden, not trying to show off talent, but just trying to glorify the King of Kings, it'll take you to a different level in God. If you would get you a Bible study and teach it to somebody. I wanted to do it for years, Pastor, but I'm scared. We can find somebody that'll let you go with them for a while and let you learn a few things by observation. Amen. But what I'm trying to do today, we've got to drink from the right cup. Sometimes it's bitter, but nonetheless, that's what you got to do to get to that next level with God. Could we pray right now? Could you talk to God? God, are you talking to me? God, have you got something for me to do? And I haven't obeyed. I've held back. I need you, Jesus. I want to do your will. Not as I will. It may be the hardest thing that someone says here today. I don't want my will. I don't want my will to hinder me, to lead me astray, to take me down the wrong road, to make me miss the will of God. To make me, if I continue down that road, even deprive me of my salvation. These altars are open right now. God, I want to be what you want me to be. Come on, pour it out to God. Say, yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Oh, precious Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
my Jesus, I want you. I need you. I want my life to please you, oh God. God, I'm not trying to promote myself. I want to promote your kingdom. I want to be used, Jesus. Say yes to Jesus. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus.